Wow. So good. And you are so right about the kids. My goodness. You can see on the slides that we open up with the title is seen clearly, and my plan was, as I do sometimes, to quote a song and see if you get it. I was going to do "I Can See Clearly Now That the Rain Has Gone." But the news this week said that we've had as much rain this week as you did during Hurricane Sally. We got a lot of rain. One of my favorite authors, Nadia Bolz-Weber, talks about the bucket we all carry, and it is the bucket of needing to meet needs. And each of us can only put so much stuff in our bucket. And we want to collect change for this and money for that and canned goods for this. We also, and be kind to yourselves, we're also collecting supplies for relief to the Hurricane Ida victims. And now, of course, we are adding to that the Nicholas victims. And we may add other hurricanes to that. It's just how we live in the South right now. But the hurricane supplies, the list has been on the website. You've received it through your email and things like this. Please, as you pick up a thing of water, you pick up a pair of gloves, drop it by the church. I know this week has not been the best week to drop by the church because it has unloaded rain. So on a pretty day, run things by, bring some things next week. The nice thing about being United Methodist is that anything that is not needed will be warehoused for the next storm. We keep warehouses across the South full of hurricane supplies. And then throughout the year, we replenish those so that we'll be ready for next year. The other thing, if you're not a shopper, you can give money. You can send that to us, and whether you make it out to us in designated hurricane, whether you make it out to UMCOR, or you make it out to the Alabama-West Florida Conference, we don't care. Whatever you bring, we will get to Louisiana. Whatever you give, we will be sure gets to Louisiana in the most expeditious route. So bring stuff, give money, do the best that you can. So I did think of a song we could do. I bet you think this sermon is about you. Don't you? Don't you? Sometimes we're so vain, and we just think this sermon is going to be about me, about you. The sanctuary was full one evening. We were presenting a new building project. It was a tense thing, and most of the church had turned out to cast their vote. The preacher had stood and given all of the perspectives on why we should do this, as well as the building committee. The chairman of finance was named Ron, and Ron stood up, and he brought graphs and charts and profit and loss sheets to explain why we should not do this. He led a very intense and passionate argument against the building of the new building. Whatever, if that makes sense to you. Ron wholeheartedly was against the vote. When the vote came, and it was done by a show of hands, the majority of the church voted to build the building. Ron was disappointed. But he was chairman of finance. So he came up to the pulpit and said, "You know, I voted against this, and I shared with you the reasons why, but I am your chairman of finance, and I will now lead you through the process of collecting the funds to build this building." And across the next year, Ron put the same wholehearted energy with his disagreement into preparing us to build that building. I say that story today because we will be meeting with the mayor. And just like a preacher and just like the church, there are people who will passionately disagree. But what I'm looking for in the political world as well as the church world is that soul who will disagree and then stand up and lead us into the next tomorrow. That is a quality that is desperately needed in our world today. For whether it be a political environment or a church environment, it's just too easy to take our toys and go home when things don't go our way. We like the preacher, God spoke. We don't like the preacher, the bishop messed up. Our candidate wins and God is on the throne. If not, it's got to be the end of times. Hurricane passes us by, we prayed well. If not, the enemy is after us. If this were true, God would make no decisions without consulting you first. I keep waiting for that. I keep waiting for that voice that the prophets heard or the angel that appeared to Mary. I keep waiting for the angel to show up and say, Bill, God wants your opinion. Has that happened to anybody? Hasn't. I've always joked that I'm waiting for the bishop or the president to call and say, Bill, what do you think about this? Because we're going to do whatever you think's best. You do know that it can't be both ways, right? You do understand that God's will is not contingent on things going well, and that God's will is not contingent on you having your way or me having my way. For I will cast votes and I will lose, but that does not mean that God doesn't love me or the country I live in or the church that I serve. It simply means that God is at work anyway. And so today, from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, I offer you the scripture. I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not for disaster, to give you a future that is filled with hope. To give you a future that is filled with hope. The thing I want to highlight today, and the band's song was so appropriate, God is sovereign, God is present and knowing, and God is always at work. This is a basic tenet of all denominations across the world. This is a basic belief that we have, that God is sovereign, that God is present, God is all-knowing, and God is always at work, even when things aren't to our liking. Can you go there? For the prophet says that God is speaking peace into this world. The deep breath that recenters our souls on grace and mercy when things are not going as we wish they would. The ability to find calm when things aren't to our liking. The gentle realization that God is at work in my life situation. Today we tend to believe that God is not at work when my life situation is not good. We tend to think that God has passed us by when our candidate didn't win. We seem to think that when the vote goes another way, God wants us to be angry. And yet, we like to say that God is sovereign, and God is everywhere, and God is always working. And so here is a core value that we as believers must hang on to passionately and wholeheartedly, that God has a plan that is not contingent on Bill liking it. That God's plan is for peace and a future that is filled with hope. Someone told me once, well, I can't have any hope unless. And I think that's the way God wants it. I just want to go, oh, wow. I remember Dr. Leon Chambers, and I think I've shared this quote with you before. Dr. Leon Chambers had one of those statements made in his class when I was in seminary, and he said to the class, he said, isn't it amazing how far God has come with what he has to work with? He said that to me more than once as well. I'm offering you a book today called Inspired by Rachel Held Evans. You see that on the slide, I believe. You know, I can't see the slides, so I'm guessing that it's up there before you. You see the author, Rachel Held Evans. A few weeks ago, I offered you her book, Searching for Sunday. This is her book, Inspired. And Rachel Held Evans says this, that faith isn't about having everything figured out ahead of time. Faith is about following the quiet voice of God without having everything figured out ahead of time. Faith is knowing that God is in the midst of everything always. Nothing escapes God's notice. Nothing will ever defeat God, nor will anyone. I can find God in every situation which I choose to look. I can be at peace in all situations regardless. Not so long after this book, Rachel Held Evans would pass away from complications with the flu. A life taken way too young, but she had a keen understanding that God is always at work regardless. The prophet Jeremiah will say to us, when you call on me, when you come and pray, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all of your heart, then you will find me. The Bible doesn't say here that when you call on God and when you pray, God will do what you say. The Bible says, I will listen, and when you search for me, with all of your heart, you will find me. And so I step into the mix of whatever is happening in our world today. I step into the coronavirus with which my friends have both been sick and passed, and I have been sick from it myself. I step into the repeated disasters from fires to rain to floods to hurricanes. I step into the crime and the debates about it across our world. I lean into the political climate where half the country has been in disagreement for the last, 16 to 20 years. And in that, the Bible says, if I look and if I search, I will see God at work. But it will be contingent on me being able to look beyond my own wishes. For if God were on the throne, the Cardinals would win the World Series every year. The University of Missouri would beat the pants off the University of Alabama. They would play them 14 times a year and leave them in the dirt every single time. If God were on the throne, my candidate would win, my taxes would go down, my road would be paved, and schools would be better. You see, God on the throne is not contingent to things going my way. God's promise to me is that when the waters are deep, I will be there with you. They will not consume you. You will not drown, but there will be peace in the midst of the storm. The song says there will be peace in the valley. There will be peace in the mountains, do you know? There will be peace if we look for it. The key to us looking for and is not letting our own personal angst, anger, bitterness, wishes get ahead of the plan of God. For each of us has a space that encircles us. And our space in this church are the people sitting nearest to you. Then there's another circle of space that branches out to the other people who worship with us either online or at 11 o'clock. And then the circle expands itself a bit further to encompass the town of Foley. A woman in her 80s said to me once about the town of Fairhope, this used to be a quaint little town till all those old people moved in. She was in, get it, woman in her 80s? What she was saying was, things are changing and I don't like it. Our community has become one of the fastest growing communities in our state. People are coming from all over the country. Now, as a man who has pastored a church that had both a Spanish-speaking service and an African-American service, I can tell you, you have not had a church supper until you've had people from other cultures bring their food into the house of God. Until you've had Spanish-speaking people bring all of the sauces and relishes and tamales. Oh, dear God, bless those people with the ability to cook. And until you've had collard greens and fried chicken made by an 80-year-old black female, you have not had collard greens, I tell you. For you see, all of these people bring to us their gifts, their graces, their food. And I say wholeheartedly to those who are coming from the Midwest, go Cardinals. What happens in a town like Foley? We no longer can say you have to choose your team, Alabama or Auburn, because we're from all over the place. And we are fans of so many things. But the key for us to remember is we're just not fans of a team, we're fans of a sport. We're fans of the idea of chicken wings. We're fans of the idea of dip and chips and getting together and laughing and expelling the angst of the week that was. We're excited to be a part of life and all that it brings. But if we narrow it down to whose team are you on, we eventually will find ourselves so isolated with only people like us that spiritually we will never grow. Another book I offer to you today is Everybody Always by Bob Goff. There are four books that I have read in one sitting in the last year. Both of Bob Goff's books, Love Always and Everybody, Love Does and Everybody Always, and then the Sarah Bessie books that I've highlighted for you. Bob Goff in his book Everybody Always says we don't need to spend as much time as we do telling other peoples what we think about what they're doing. Loving people doesn't mean we need to control their conduct. There's a big difference between the two. Loving people means caring without an agenda. As soon as we have an agenda, it's not about love anymore. It's like acting like you care to get someone to do what you want them to do or to think God wants them to do. But if you'll do less of that, people will see less of you and more of Jesus. Yes, God is easy to find when things go well. God is easy to find when the offering's up and the storms pass us by. God is easy to find when the preacher says the things we like to hear. God is easy to find when we are happy. God is easy to find in those days. But what about when things don't go so well? What about when things are ever-changing all around us? What about when life doesn't go our way? That's when our faith becomes visible, active, and it is the demonstration that we are trusting God. And our world around us is changing faster than we ever could. And this is God's promise, the next verse from Isaiah. I will be present with you, declares the Lord. I will end your captivity, declares the Lord. I will gather you from all the nations and places that you have been scattered, from all of the things that caused you to worry about this and about that and to be afraid of this and to be angry over that. I will gather you from those things and I'll bring you home. You have worried and fretted long enough, my child. I will bring you home and I will take care of you. Rachel Held Evans again says, the church is not a group of people who believe all the same things. A church is a group of people caught up in the same story, and Jesus happens to be at the center of it. You, my people, are the church of God, and you are the people of God. And in this kingdom, we come from a variety of different places and ways. Did I tell you about the week I moved to Alabama? The same week, a young lady moved from Alabama to the high school I attended in St. Joseph, Missouri. We talked the week after both of our first weeks, and she said, Bill, how's it going? I said, well, Michelle, it's hard. She said, what's happening for you? I said, I keep getting sent to the office. I said, Coach keeps telling me to bend over, and he hits me with a board. She said, did you figure out why? I said, yeah, eventually, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, how about you, Michelle? She said, I keep getting sent to the office. I said, why? She said, I keep saying yes, ma'am, and no, sir, and they tell me I'm a smart aleck, and I get sent to the office. They don't paddle me, but I've been in detention. For you see, the ways we think that are so desperately, we think yes, ma'am, is a value. But if you get up to Minnesota where they're Scandinavians, and the word yeah comes from the Scandinavian word yeah, they are speaking grammatically correct, according to their culture. You see, whenever we try to nail our values against someone else who is just speaking from where they were raised and how they were raised, and we want to proclaim it to be wrong, we are wrong. And I know that's hard to hear. And there's a church in Michigan that could hear this message about us, and there's a church in California that could hear about it for those in Boston, and there's a church in Boston that needs to hear about it from those in Los Angeles. But what happens in a community like Foley? We land together. And we can focus on what's wrong and what's different and what we don't like, or we can focus on food, on the teams, on the camaraderie, on what we can learn and how we can grow, on the things that are unique to each of us. For there is barbecue in Carolina, and there's barbecue in Kansas City, and there is barbecue in other parts of the world, and until you've tasted it all, you only know one. But out there are the spices and the varieties of life. And God intended all of us to be different because we are the spice of this world. We are the salt that adds flavor to everything around us. My friends, Foley United Methodist Church, you have chosen the path forward to create four pillars of mission and ministry that reaches out to all of the differences that exist in our town. And you have stepped into the deep end of the pool and have proclaimed that Foley United Methodist Church loves you. Now you got to do it. There's another part of that. Joe Harding, one of our great Methodist preachers who've passed from I believe he was from Washington State. He used to say that it takes 7 attaboys to overcome 1 gotcha. So for every negative comment that comes out of any group, it's going to take 7 positives to overcome it. If one person is a complainer, it's going to take seven of us to out-positive that one before it goes away. So in our world today, we are the voices of hope, the voices of God's plan, the voice that God will carry us through. No matter who wins, no matter who's in charge, no matter what team loses, God is still there, and we are the people to speak peace. And so, my people, I end by simply saying to you, go out there and speak peace. Go out there and speak peace. We should definitely end with a food story. Charles, I think you're out there. I can't see you. He's been to my favorite restaurant, Cozy Brown's. First day I went to Cozy's, I was the only white fella in the house. And I sat there and I was eating. And one of the workers was there and she'd ordered from McDonald's. Why you would order from McDonald's when you're eating at Cozy Brown's, I have no idea. But she had set her little sundae aside and wasn't going to eat it. And I leaned over and I said, hey, you going to eat that? She said, no. I said, I'll take it. First parable of Jesus. Jesus sat at a well and a woman comes up and Jesus has no cup. And he says, can I have a drink out of your cup? From that moment on, I was welcomed into the back where Cozy cooked. And I would see the pile of collards that was as tall as he was. And there would be 10 pounds, I tell you, 10 pounds of bacon that he would put into those collards. And my goodness, the mac and cheese must have had 100 different types of cheese melted in amongst the pasta. You got a free heart cath with every meal. In that room, I met a man that played Little League with Hank Aaron. I met a man that knew Satchel Paige. I met a man, Cozy Brown. In the weeks that I moved, he was shot 4 times in the abdomen. He went to the DA, had a visit, and hired the kid that shot him. In that small space, I was changed. In your small space, instead of trying to change everyone around you, be open to how they might change you. Amen? Amen. Kate has gone on with the team to greet the mayor and people as they arrive, so I'll be singing for you. Just kidding. Just kidding. Be at peace. Be at peace. Walk into the fear. Roman Miller, one of my mentors that you'll hear from on occasion, always said preaching's better than eating ice cream. The kingdom of God, associating with God's children and learning and growing, is better than eating ice cream. The Lord bless you. The Lord hold you. The Lord keep you. The Lord expose you to new and different things. And with an open heart, may we grow. May we feast at the banquet of differences. And may we welcome the knowledge of change. And may we step closer to the kingdom. That when our day comes, we will simply breathe and inhale the kingdom of God and live there forever. Amen. 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 Thank you for coming. If you're on live today, we're finishing a little bit early. Yay! Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for being with us.